It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
This is Diaz with a 2-2 pitch. Here it is. Ground ball hit hard to second. India has it. Fires the first. Ball game over. The Reds end the Red Sox winning streak. Cincinnati wins it 5-2. So the Red Sox streak ends at 5 straight wins. They have lost 2 in their last 9. 7-2 over that 9-game stretch as they fall to the Cincinnati Reds 5-2 in the opener of this 3-game series.
Well, at least there was a Celtics parade today. Red Sox 5-game winning streak comes to an end against the Cincinnati Reds, as the Reds beat the Red Sox by a score of 5-2. You just heard the final call there from the Hall of Famer, Joe Castiglione. And for the Red Sox, some of the warts that this club still has, despite their really strong play as of late, showed up. And we're going to get into it here on Red Sox Review. We'd love to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. Joe Weil with you. Nico Manganiello. Great to be back with Nico. He's behind the glass. Man of the ones and twos. And for the Red Sox in this one, we're about to hear from Alex Cora in one moment, but just wanted to hit on some of the key things that showed up in this game for the Sox tonight. Well, for one thing, swinging and missing and just striking out. That's been a theme for this team all season long. They've been in the bottom five pretty much this entire year in strikeout rate, and they strike out 14 times tonight. So that was one of the things. Another one, defensively, it didn't quite define the game because they were already down 3-2, but this team committed 3 errors in 1 inning. That was in the 7th inning, and this team came into tonight, as has been the case for the most part this season, with the most errors in Major League Baseball. So the defense kills them. And then the final thing I wanted to hit on, as great as this starting pitching has been for the Red Sox, it's still an inexperienced rotation. And Cutter Crawford seems to be hitting a wall here And I assume Alex Cora is going to be talking about this. Again, we're going to hear from him in one moment, but I just wanted to rattle off a stat from Red Sox Stats, the fantastic Twitter, X account, whatever you want to call it these days. But he had one that was really noteworthy about Cutter Crawford because his stuff had been down really all night. And you could tell, you go to Baseball Savant, you could see that the fastball velocity was down. But this is really noteworthy. He said, tonight is the first game in his major league career that Crawford did not average at least a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. It was also his career low in cutter velocity. And both the Jamer Candelario home runs came on 91-mile-per-hour fastballs. So he seems to be tiring Cutter Crawford right now. Or he's hurt, but I don't think that the latter is the case. I think he's just tired. He's thrown a lot of innings this year already. He's talked about on the record about this is more innings than he's thrown at the beginning of a year than he has in years past. But he's getting hit a lot harder, and he's given up 11 home runs over his last seven starts. And he's given up at least one home run in each of those last seven starts. And the run before that was really impressive. Just two home runs over the first nine. But he's been getting hit harder. And again, he gets hurt by a lack of run support. That's been the case all season long for him. But at the same time, he just wasn't quite good enough despite buckling down between the fourth and sixth innings, and the Red Sox lose by a score of 5-2. Again, it was a lot of different things. And again, this team has been playing great. There are still some deficiencies, and that's why they sit where they sit, outside of the wild card picture right now. And we'll see if it's even further back after tonight with the Royals and Twins still in action. Let's now hear from Alex Cora what he had to say after the 5-2 loss to the Reds.
It was actually an interesting outing for Cutter, right? The homers and the traffic early on, and then after that, he was dialed in, and we don't make a play. The squeeze is a squeeze, you know, but we opened the door for them, and they scored two there. We felt like, you know, where we were in the lineup and at bats wise, we were gonna be okay later in the game, but you know, it just didn't happen.
What do you think they did so effectively against you guys today?
He had a good fastball. I don't know how many he struck out, but it seems like everything was hard up, right? The four-seamer had carry, and we were late on it. But, you know, like I said, we were hanging in there. We had a bad inning defensively, and that was it.
I think Cutter was at 77 pitches. I mean, probably a pretty easy decision to send him back.
Oh, yeah. And especially understanding what's going on Sunday, coming from the off day, and we should be okay Saturday, Sunday. His stuff was really good at the end. We just didn't make a play.
You talked about how dialed in he was late. I think after he gave up that last solo shot, he retired 10 straight at some point. Like, how much better has he gotten at kind of refocusing?
Yeah, I mean, the homers are the homers. Candelario, he's swinging about extremely well for them. We threw strikes, right? And there were solo shots, you know, three first-pitch homers. But, you know, overall, it's really good, really good. He gave us a chance to win.
To play on the squeeze, are you good with him trying to scoop it forward?
Yeah. I mean, you just react to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the homers are the homers. It was only three. There's solo shots and all that. The first, I think it was nine outings. He'd only given up two. And then the last seven, he's given up 11. Like, what do you account for the difference between those first seven and the last nine?
I mean, three first-pitch homers today, two by Kyle. You know, like, it's going to happen, you know. Like, as long as they're solo shots, we're good. You know, there's no traffic out there. He's pitched well, so that's all we care about.
Based on what you're saying, are you going to have a bullpen game on Sunday? Is that
kind of, yeah. Yeah, most likely.
Mm-hmm. What do you like the most about the way Connor's swinging the bat now?
That was a good swing at the end. He just controlling the strike zone, which is night and day compared to last year. Night and day. He's executing the game plan. You know, he's fresh coming into this one, which is awesome. But I think overall, his at-bats are solid, you know. Even the strikeout against Cruz, you know, he hung in there with him, and then he got a fast one through two, and he missed it. But I think he's executing the plan. He made some adjustments mechanically, but I think it's about execution, and he's been great.
Is it all the more impressive when he's handling the pitching staff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what he wants to do first, you know, and the offense is second, but we'll take this catcher. We'll take it. He's really good at what he does.
All right, so that was Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 5-2 loss over the Cincinnati Reds, hitting a lot there on Cutter Crawford's outing. We'll continue to talk about it tonight on Red Sox Review, but we'd love to hear from you, 617-779-7937, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. I know we're still over a month away, but Craig Breslow has a lot of decisions to make coming up here with this roster, with guys he could trade away or maybe try to add a piece, and it's all going to be contingent upon how this team plays as we approach that spot. We're still a ways to go, but with the way they came in playing tonight, it was really encouraging to see the way the Red Sox were stacking up win after win, and a lot of them against good teams. But they fall tonight. Still two more games left in this series against the Reds, but they're in a spot where I think they need to play great to really get the front office to add to this team at the trade deadline, considering the way the offseason went. And I'd like to see them do that, but they have to continue to put up W's. Right now, they're at 40-36. They're at least a game back now for the third wild card spot. They're a game and a half back of the Twins, who are in action tonight. And they came in, this being the Red Sox, a game and a half back of the Royals for the second spot, now two games back of them. It still has to play itself out with those two teams tonight. But the Red Sox could not take care of business. We're going to talk about several different things as to why that was tonight. But again, we do want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. But it's time to see what's trending on WEI with Nico.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Manganiello,
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Boozer throws and it's a bunt attempt, a squeeze play coming home. Cam flips it out of his glove over Wong's head. And now two runs are going to score as Boozer picks it up on the track. And Cincinnati leads it 5-2.
Safety squeeze. I think Boozer had time to pick it up with his hand. But he flipped it with a glove, and that's dangerous.
Green just started moving a little quickly for him. What a sequence that is. A total sneak attack. And it's not often you put a safety squeeze on and score two. It was dead and beautifully in front of the mound, and it was going to be a hard and close play no matter what Boozer did. And I think he probably was going to be safe in the end no matter what, but out of the glove, yanked it over Wong, and that brings home a second run.
One of three errors by the Red Sox in one inning. Sox committed three errors in the seventh. And the safety squeeze by TJ Friedl ends up bringing in two and end up capping the scoring in tonight's game. Reds win it 5-2 over the Red Sox. That was one of the highlights from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Appreciate you joining us on this Friday evening as Red Sox five-game winning streak does come to an end tonight. And it was a couple different reasons why, and we hit on this in the open, but it's worth mentioning again. And we do want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. Tell us how you're feeling after this one. There was so much optimism coming into tonight's game with the vibes in the city with the Celtics parade and just the way the city showed out for that. And then realizing the Red Sox are the lone team in town right now playing. They're the show. And they'd been playing some really good baseball coming into tonight's action. A sweep against the Jays, two out of three against the Yankees, and then before that, two out of three against the Phillies. And tonight, really on all facets, just showed them or showed the type of team that they were in the month of May, where they finished 12-16 that month. The offense wasn't clicking, and tonight's lineup was not the best lineup that they could roll out. And it's a great sign that Alex Cora has pretty much on the record said that Willier Abreu is going to be activated off the injured list tomorrow and will play tomorrow. He is with the team. He just didn't get activated off of the injured list yet, and it'd be interesting to see what the Red Sox decide from a roster construction standpoint, who will be off the roster in whatever way to make room for Willier Abreu. They could use him back. And tonight's lineup featured Bobby Dalbec in the seventh spot. And then on top of that, Romy Gonzalez in the two spot. Bobby Dalbec, he ends up going 0-for-3 in this one, two strikeouts. And Red Sox stats had a stat about Bobby Dalbec that just encapsulates how much he has struggled in his major league career. So what Red Sox stats put out, and if you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to. He said, including the playoffs, Dalbec is hitting .193 in his last 511 major league plate appearances with a 38% strikeout rate. And in 2023-2024, he's K'd in 71 of 46 major league plate appearances. That's good for a 49% strikeout rate. And again, he gives you nothing offensively in the seventh spot. And we'll see if he's a roster move that the Sox decide to make and put Willier Abreu on the active roster and they take him off it. But he was in the lineup tonight. On top of that, Romy Gonzalez with a left-hander on the mound. He ends up batting second, so David Hamilton has to come off the bench in this one, and he did. He flew out to right in his lone at-bat. So this isn't the best lineup that you can roll out. But on top of that, they face good pitching. Andrew Abbott's a pretty good pitcher. 3.42 ERA. He does give up a lot of home runs, and he gave up two tonight. So that kind of played into his tendencies. But this type of offensive performance is what we saw last month. Not this month. Because this month, the Red Sox are arguably the best, or they've been one of the best offenses this month. across Major League Baseball, not just in the American League, across Major League Baseball. First in average, first in on-base percentage, second in OPS, and hitting home runs at a decent rate, but fourth in runs scored. And, of course, the speed dynamic has been so huge for this Red Sox team as well, the fact that they lead the American League in that category. They really didn't get a chance to showcase the speed in this one. So they end up banging out just six hits. Not a ton of chances with runners in scoring position either. But it was a type of performance that we hadn't seen a whole lot of recently from this team. And they showcased that tonight. Again, a May-ish type performance. But on top of that, the errors continue to hold this team back. And I just don't know. I'd love to like see a stat about it because I don't have it right in front of me. But I don't know if a team has ever made any headway into the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, leading Major League Baseball in errors and fielding errors and fielding percentage. Because again, the Red Sox, I feel like for a long time now, I look at these stats almost daily where I try to update it and just see where the team stands. But so many nights doing this show, I'm looking at my little spreadsheet here and see that the Sox are last in Major League Baseball in fielding percentage. They've made the most errors and the most fielding errors. Outs above average, they're in the bottom third. They're 24th in Major League Baseball coming into tonight. And again, an ugly seventh inning allows this game to unravel a little bit. And it turns it from a one-run game with a shaky closer in the back end for the Reds to a three-run advantage, allows him to settle in a little bit, you know, in that ninth inning. One out single doesn't mean a whole lot, and the Sox can't really get their running game going either. It changes the complexion of the game, going from a one-run game to a three-run game, and especially it being a one-run deficit to a three-run deficit. Because the Red Sox have that speed dynamic, you keep them in a close game, they're dangerous because they have that element of their game, which they haven't had the last couple years. And clearly Alex Cora loves that because he's talked about it on the record, just loving the athleticism that this team has been able to showcase this year. But in the end, the Red Sox tonight really were playing from behind from the start because Jamer Candelario, he ends up hitting a solo home run in the first inning to make it 1-0. Sox tie it up in the second. Connor Wong goes deep. 11 game hitting streak for Connor Wong, by the way. Career high. Then a solo home run for Jonathan India of the Reds makes it 2-1. Jaron Duran ties it up with a solo jack for him in the third inning, his second straight game in which he's gone deep. And then Candelario goes deep again in the third inning. All first pitches in which the Reds take the ball out against Cutter Crawford tonight. And three more home runs to his tally. It's been a problem for him. He's a good pitcher. But the stuff is clearly a little diminished. Although Alex Cora in his post-game press conference didn't necessarily seem to be that concerned about it. There were questions asked about the home runs he's given up recently and all that stuff, but he didn't seem all that concerned about it and actually highlighted that, you know, he said he had some good moments in this outing, and that's true because he went through a stretch in which he retired 10 consecutive batters. 1-2-3 inning in the fourth, 1-2-3 inning in the fifth, 1-2-3 inning in the sixth, and it's a credit to him that he was throwing a lot of pitches early on and then actually was able to work into the seventh inning. But again, it's just not enough. The offense wasn't there for him again. And tonight, you know, the stuff wasn't great. And it's a little concerning for a guy that, you know, again, hasn't logged a ton of time at the major league level as a starting pitcher. Well, he has, but in terms of going deep into a season consistently, that's the way I meant to phrase it. Let's now hear from Cutter Crawford, what he had to say after his outing tonight.
Kind of like emotional roller coaster, you know. Obviously, gave up the three in that second inning that, you know, had an extended long inning, but, you know, I was kind of able to kind of dial it in after, you know, that third inning and, you know, go six in the third and, you know, just trying to give my team the best chance possible when I was trying to hold it at, you know, just hold them at three runs, you know, give my team a chance and, yeah.
Yeah, I think you retired 10 guys at a point there after the last solo home run you got. What allowed you to kind of refocus?
Candelario hitting that ball 450. It's kind of a punch in the mouth, you know, to try getting ahead first pitch, and, you know, he jumped all over it and didn't miss it, put a good swing on it. So, you know, at that point, I try to, like, really, you know, just lock it in and stay on the attack and, you know, try to really execute pitches. And, you know, I think I was able to do that, you know, from there on.
How much did you kind of appreciate Alex's faith sending you back out there, you know, for the seventh?
Oh, I appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. For him to run me out there in that situation. Obviously, it didn't go as we planned. But, yeah, you know, him sending me out there, you know, it shows he got, you know, some trust in me, and I appreciate that a lot.
I feel like this year you've kind of taken that step forward in terms of going deeper into games. I know that was something you talked a lot about last year.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, the big key there is just throwing strikes as the game goes on. Last year I struggled to do that, you know, after fifth, sixth inning. But, yeah, that was a big focus this offseason. And, you know, I think I've kind of taken, you know, a step in that direction.
Alex had mentioned that they were kind of first pitch hunting today. I guess all three home runs were on the first pitch. What makes them an effective group of hitters, especially Candelario like that?
They didn't miss the pitches over the heart of the plate. You know, they put good swings on it. You know, Candelario obviously twice, and India, you know, hit that first pitch slider, you know, out there to left. But yeah, they put good swings on those pitches over the heart of the plate.
And that was the story in the end tonight for Cutter Crawford. They put some good swings on first pitches, and he gives up three solo home runs as the Sox fall by a score of 5-2. Against the Reds. And I mentioned this before, but the Red Sox 4-12 now in Cutter Crawford starts. And that's not his fault entirely. And actually, I'd say in the aggregate, it's not his fault. But the Sox just don't score in his starts. That's one thing. And then he just hasn't been as sharp recently. If you want to get into the conversation, 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. We've been hitting on the errors, the fielding woes for the Sox this season. It's been a huge problem. And then on top of that, the swing and miss, 14 strikeouts for the Sox tonight as they continue to be one of the worst teams in, from a strikeout standpoint offensively this year. Lots of positives overall this year from the offensive side of things and the steps the young guys are taking, but they've just had too many nights like this where they've struck out over 10 times or 10 times or more. They've struck out 10 times or more in 39 of their 76 games, so over half of them. That tells part of the story. Let's go to the phones for the first time. Let's go to Glenn in New Orleans. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Let's see what you got.
Well, the errors, and this is, it seems to me like ever since Cora got here that the club has been poor defensively, but particularly the last 2 years. And we keep bringing up Valdez and Dahlbeck, and Devers is, you know, he is what he is. Some guys, they have a ceiling as to how good they can be defensively. And all the practice in the world isn't going to get them above that particular level. And that's the situation that you have with some of these players. I can't believe Valdez blew that throw. I mean, a 10-year-old would make that 10 out of 10 times. He's always fumbling the ball in his glove, which leads to him throwing the ball away. And then you hit on all of the strikeouts. Can't put the ball in play. And lastly, I can't believe they don't have anybody in their minor league system that they can call up and play that's that would be worse than these people. I mean, the Yankees lost Rizzo, and they call up Ben Rice. They didn't go pick up Garrett Cooper off of a DFA or start scrolling through Marlins rejects. It's just, I hope they don't do anything at the deadline, because this team is not going anywhere, okay? They had their little nice run here in June, but I have a feeling tonight may have kicked it off as far as starting to revert back to kind of like what May was. And they make one error and they're not satisfied with that. They compound it with another one and another one, And that happens all the time. That's how they, that's why they lead MLB in errors, because they don't make one a game. When they make them, they make three or four in a game. So it's just disgusting and very unenjoyable to watch. But anyway, that's kind of what we expected. So you have a great night, and see what happens tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate you chiming in, Glenn. And yeah, I'm not ready to be that pessimistic yet about where this team could be by the trade deadline, because I keep going back to that Phillies series and where the Red Sox stood after losing the first game of that series and where this season could have headed. And then they bounced back and won the next two, and then they lost the first one against the Yankees at Fenway, and then they won the next two and then went on this five-game winning streak. This happens. Baseball is a sport where you kind of can have nights like this. The problem is that some of these underlying trends continue to show themselves even when a team is playing well. The Red Sox have given up 48 unearned runs now this year, by the way. But the errors have killed them. That inning killed them. Alex Cora in his postgame press conference talked about how that inning, the mistakes made, and Glenn talked about the error by Valdez to kick off the seventh inning. That was a killer. And then there were two more errors in the inning on top of that. E5 by Rafi Devers. Bobby Dalbec couldn't keep his, couldn't stay on first base. And the throw came, from Devers at third. And then mixed in between that, as you just heard of the highlight we played at the beginning of this segment, the safety squeeze. And Cam Booster, I do think what the move he made with the glove, I mean, even Alex Cora talked about it in his postgame presser. Sometimes you're just trying to make a quick judgment play and get the out, and it ends up, getting past Wong and allowing not just one runner to score, but two runners to score. That, to me, of the three errors, was the least egregious, because at least you understood the play. But it's been a real killer. And I was just looking up the 2018 team, I'm sorry, because Glenn was saying with Alex Cora, this has been the trend his entire tenure. It's not necessarily true. They were a good defensive team that year, top third in the league in fewest errors committed, outs above average, slightly above average that year. And of course, their outfield was incredible, right? Because you had Betts at right and JBJ in center, and Andrew Benintendi out in left field. The infield wasn't great, because you had the rotating door at second base. Bogarts, from a defensive metric standpoint, got better as his career progressed, and then got to the point now they don't have him even playing shortstop anymore when he's healthy. And then Devers, not great at third base, first base, a couple different players that they use. I mean, it wasn't the infield part of it wasn't necessarily one that stood out, but they had a better defense back then. So it's not just an Alex Cora specific thing. That being said, the last couple of years, it's been tough, and it's killing this team, as it did in a way tonight. Nico was looking up something that I was talking about a little bit earlier about how I wasn't sure, because I didn't have it right in front of me as I kicked off the show, about how if you're a team that's the worst or one of the worst from an errors defensive standpoint, if they've made deep runs in the postseason. And he actually did find a recent example of a team that ended up making a deep run in the postseason that we know and loved.
Yeah, it was really just one team. It was the 2021 Boston Red Sox. They were 29th. In the MLB for errors per game, and they made 0.66 errors per game. And in the past 5 years, that's really it. Everybody else that was either, 30th or 29th in the past 5 years finished like fourth or fifth in their division. And I will say this about that 2021 team. At the time, I felt like it was a fluke. And so far, this beginning half of the season feels like a fluke. So there are some trends there for me. I could see this team maybe hanging in it. But I kind of agree with Glenn. I don't think they'll make any investment at the deadline. So I think at best, this team lucks into being the 2021 team and goes on a magical run and then kind of falls apart again.
This is maybe a topic for another time, but that 2021 Red Sox team, is there a recent team in Boston sports history that is like that, in that it was a fluke team that made a deep run despite being so flawed. And I know people would say the 2013 Red Sox were kind of like that because the years around it, they were in last place. But that team was actually legitimately good. Whereas 2021...
The roster wasn't really good in 2021. The 2013 roster was stacked.
Exactly. So and I think 2021, it was good in some ways, but they had to make the play. They made the playoffs on the final day of the season, beating the Nationals. They needed to sweep that series. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of a team in this city's history recently where they made a deep run and the team was really flawed, yet still somehow did that. Because I think as we look back on that 2021 team, the more time we're away from it, it does feel like such an outlier. Even though there were good players like Bogarts, and Devers was, of course, a part of that team too, J.D. Martinez, and you know the likes of those guys. Nathan Eovaldi, of course, was on it as well. Kyle Schwarber for part of the season. So they had some really noteworthy players. I don't know. You would handle the Bruins part of it better than me, but...
So there definitely isn't a Bruins team because most Bruins teams fell short of expectations rather than exceed expectations. The only one I think maybe you can try to make some sort of argument for, but even then people end up being disappointed in, was the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier Celtics when Hayward and Kyrie Irving were both out of the picture. The year Hayward snapped his leg and then Kyrie got injured and didn't play the playoffs. Like, that team almost made it to the finals. They were in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. A lot of people thought they should have still won it because the LeBron Cavs were so bad. But realistically, I think that team kind of did exceed expectations once Hayward snaps his leg in Game 1 and then Kyrie's out for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I was actually just thinking about a separate Celtics team. That's a good example. I was actually thinking of the year prior when they had Isaiah Thomas as their leading man. And they made the conference finals, and people count that as part of this recent stretch because Jaylen Brown was a rookie that year, but they got killed by the Cavs in 5 games. And again, Isaiah Thomas, as great a player as he was here, I'm not trying to pour anything on Isaiah Thomas. He was so much fun to watch. He electrified this city, but not necessarily the leading man for a title team. And they ended up making the Eastern Conference Finals. Anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic. Red Sox fall 5-2 against the Reds tonight. Bad defense. The bats struck out a lot, 14 times in this one. Cutter Crawford gives up 3 bombs. That's the full story for you, but we will wrap up Red Sox review, get you a preview for tomorrow's game, and what's at stake for the Sox in the middle match of this 3-game set against the Reds. Back with more Red Sox review right after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Left-handed hitter has done it again. He lifts off deep to right field, and that is way gone. Even further than Duran's home run derby in Cincinnati, Cutter has allowed 3 blasts, and the Reds back in front 3-2.
I don't think it's the ballpark. Pitches have been improved.
Cutter, that's 7 home runs allowed in his last 3 starts. Good news for the Red Sox, they've all been solo shots. These teams are trading uppercuts. That was 91 miles an hour, top of the zone, but center. And Candelario did not miss it. Wow.
Runs for the Reds tonight against Cutter Crawford. Jamer Candelario gets him twice, and that's one of the highlights from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in. Epic golfers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review as we wrap things up here on WEI. The Red Sox hit 2 home runs of their own tonight, but they were both solo home runs, and they ended up being the only offense for the Red Sox in this one. First, it was Connor Wong going deep in the second inning as he extends his hitting streak to a career-high 11 games. Jaron Duran was the other one that went deep as he hit a solo home run in the third. Both of those guys have 11-game hitting streaks right now. So they're rolling offensively, those two. The team, not so much tonight with 14 strikeouts. But Connor Wong had a chance to speak after the game, and he's been red hot offensively for this group. He's been a big part of what they've done this year and the fact that they're above 500. But, of course, he takes these losses tough, being behind home plate for a start that Cutter Crawford ends up giving up three home runs. Let's hear what he had to say.
Went to bunt the ball. Honestly, he put down a pretty good one. He killed it. Boos had to make a really tough play. Ended up going over my head, and the trail runner was able to come around and score.
Is it frustrating when, you know, they score two runs on one bunt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hindsight's 20-20, right? You really don't want the second one. You don't want the first one to score, right? So, yeah, it's tough that both scored.
Kind of a do-or-die play.
100% do or die.
Yeah.
You know, a great effort. It's not lack of effort. Just we didn't execute.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you don't have time to pick it up. You just got to kind of push it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's something that they work on, and, you know, he tried to make a play.
Tough for the strikeouts tonight. Just one shy of the season high with, you know, 14 and Abbott. How difficult did he make it offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got really good stuff. Mixed really well. We got to make an adjustment.
Alex said that after the three home runs, that Cutter was really dialed in. You saw the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, he was really good after the three homers. Was able to get deep in the game for us, save some arms in the bullpen. He did a nice job after the homers.
And that seems to be the consistent line between Connor Wong, Alex Cora, that Cutter Crawford did settle in. And that is true after he gave up the home runs. One in the first, one in the second, one in the third. Again, Connor Wong did go deep. But in the end, it's not enough for the Sox. 5-game winning streak has come to an end. Reds take it 5-2, but right back at it tomorrow. First pitch at 4:10 from Great American Ballpark. The Mass Mutual pregame show starts at 3:10 along the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. I want to thank Nico Manganiello. Fantastic work behind the glass as always. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time. Reds 5, Red Sox 2. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review here on WEEI. Hi.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Left-handed hitter has done it again. He lifts off deep to right field, and that is way gone. Even further than Duran's home run derby in Cincinnati, Cutter has allowed three blasts, and the Reds back in front 3-2.
I don't think it's the ballpark. Pitchers have been brutal.
Cutter, that's seven home runs allowed in his last three starts. Good news for the Red Sox, they've all been solo shots. These teams are trading uppercuts. That was 91 miles an hour, top of the zone, but center. And Candelario did not miss it. Wow.
Runs for the Reds tonight against Cutter Crawford. Jamer Candelario gets him twice, and that's one of the highlights from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in. Epic golfers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review as we wrap things up here on WEEI. The Red Sox hit two home runs of their own tonight, but they were both solo home runs, and they ended up being the only offense for the Red Sox in this one. First, it was Connor Wong going deep in the second inning as he extends his hitting streak to a career-high 11 games. Jaron Duran was the other one that went deep as he hit a solo home run in the third. Both of those guys have 11-game hitting streaks right now. So they're rolling offensively, those two. The team, not so much tonight with 14 strikeouts, but Connor Wong had a chance to speak after the game, And he's been red hot offensively for this group. He's been a big part of what they've done this year and the fact that they're above 500. But, of course, he takes these losses tough, being behind home plate for a start that Cutter Crawford ends up giving up three home runs. Let's hear what he had to say.
Went to bunt the ball. Honestly, he put down a pretty good one. He killed it. Boos had to make a really tough play. Ended up going over my head, and the trail runner was able to come around and score.
Is it frustrating when, you know, they score two runs on one bunt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? You really don't want the second one. You don't want the first one to score, right? So, yeah, it's tough that both scored.
Kind of a do or die play.
Yeah, 100% do or die. Yeah. You know, a great effort. It's not lack of effort. Just we didn't execute.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you don't have time to pick it up. You just got to kind of push it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's something that they work on, and, you know, he tried to make a play.
Tough for the strikeouts tonight. Just one shy of the season high with, you know, 14 and Abbott. How difficult did he make it offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got really good stuff. Mixed really well. We got to make an adjustment.
Alex said that after the three home runs, that Cutter was really dialed in. You saw the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, he was really good after the three homers. Was able to get deep in the game for us, save some arms in the bullpen. He did a nice job after the homers.
And that seems to be the consistent line between Connor Wong, Alex Cora, that Cutter Crawford did settle in. And that is true after he gave up the home runs. One in the first, one in the second, one in the third. Again, Connor Wong did go deep. But in the end, it's not enough for the Sox. Five-game winning streak has come to an end. Reds take it 5-2, but right back at it tomorrow. First pitch at 4:10 from Great American Ballpark. The Mass Mutual pregame show starts at 3:10 along the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. I want to thank Nico Manganiello. Fantastic work behind the glass as always. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time. Reds 5, Red Sox 2. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review here on WEI.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.